Hallelujah! We are abiding in the vine. We will begin outline number 9. So please, I'm sorry, number 11. Please take out your outline. Outline 11. The title of this message is Two Kinds of Fruit Out of the Divine Life. We have plenty of space there to take notes. Hallelujah. And we will be speaking of the verses that are there on those references. And dear brothers and sisters, there is a very important revelation in these verses concerning the two kinds of fruit out of the divine life. And it is the crucial importance because whether we have these fruits or not at the end of this age will determine if we will be part of the coming kingdom or not. So it is a serious matter, a sovereign matter. But praise the Lord, this is not a fruit that we produce on our own. This is the fruit of the divine life. Can we read the title together? Two kinds of fruit out of the divine life. Can we open our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11? Yes, we're going to use our Bible. Praise the Lord. Amen. And there will be passages that probably you will like to go back in your study time. Maybe when you go back from Summer School of Truth, you will like to pray, read those verses. You're going to see a few things here, but seeing them doesn't mean they are a reality in us. But if you go back and spend time on those verses, eat those verses, I'll tell you, eventually, that will come a reality to you. That will become a reality to you as you enjoy the truth. So we're going to see a few things here, but it's not done. The job is not done. You have to go back during the year, during the school year, and hopefully go back to these portions, and that the Lord will strengthen us to cooperate with Him. We're going to read verse 11, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. Are we there? Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. Said God,
in this way, the entrance
into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be richly and bountifully supplied to you.
Amen. Richly and bountifully supplied to you.
Amen. But it's saying this way. So he's showing us the way to receive this rich entrance. And this way is based on whether or not we have the producing of these two kinds of fruit in us. And what are the two kinds of fruits? Write this down. One of the kinds of fruits, you find it in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. The first kind of fruit is in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. And the second type of fruit, you find it in John chapter 15, verse 16. The second fruit is on John 15, chapter 16. Chapter 15, verse 16. So let's go to read those verses, Galatians 5, 22, 23. Are you there? Praise the Lord. There is no law.
Amen.
These are fruits of the Spirit. is not the fruit of good behaving people. You could become a good behaving person, or you probably are already a good behaving person, but that may not be Christ. And the fruit of the Spirit is life, and Christ is life. So we need to take life that these virtues will be manifested in us. And there is a little bit more elaboration on those fruit, the fruit of the Christian virtues, in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 5, 6, and 7. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 5, 6, and 7. There we see a progression, and the notes there, I will recommend you to spend some time on those notes whenever you have time, because it helps us to understand what they are, and how can we have this fruit produced in us. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, 6, and 7. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1, 5, 6, and 7. If you have it, let's just wait for the rest of us to get there. 2 Peter 1, verses 5, 6, and 7. Amen. Let's read verse 5. And for this very reason, also,
that in all diligence, supply bountifully in your faith the virtue, and in virtue knowledge, and in knowledge self-control, and in self-control endurance, and in endurance godliness, and in godliness brotherly love, and in brotherly love, love.
So all these verses speak of the first kind of fruit that should be produced in us, and that is the fruit of Christian virtues. And this list of virtues that are here, it begins with faith, and faith, it refers to that we will exercise faith. We all have faith because we all have received the Lord Jesus, but how exercised we are in our faith. So this matter is of our exercise of faith. The next one that you see there is virtue. This virtue speaks of an excellent kind of living, a living that manifests in human virtues the attributes of God. Then, knowledge. This knowledge does not refer that we know stuff, but that knowledge refers to the knowledge of God. Do you know God? Do you know the heart of God? Do you know God's intent in every matter? This requires that we will spend time before Him, that He will infuse us with His own being, that we will be one with Him. The next one is self-control. This is to exercise control over oneself in its position, desires, and habits. When we look at ourselves and see our decisions, our desires, and our habits, we may start thinking, oh, I don't qualify then. I do not have these virtues really in my living. But it's good to remember that this is not our fruit, but this is the fruit of the growth of the divine life in you. So the matter is not trying to produce this, but the matter is to be filled with life, that life will grow and life will develop until it blossoms and brings these kind of fruits. The next one is godliness. Godliness is a living that is like God and expresses God. Then brotherly love, that we have a genuine affection and love for others. Sometimes we love someone because that person is nice to us. But the minute that person is no longer nice to us, we don't love that person anymore. That is not love. This is a genuine affection for others. And then it says, in brotherly love, love. So there are two types of loves here. The first love is the human affection for one another, a human virtue, but the last love mentioned in that verse, in brotherly love, love, that second love refers to God Himself, because in the Bible we read in 1 John 4:8 that he who does not love does not know God, because God is love. So if God is love, we could say that in brotherly love, you don't get love, but you get God. In other words, the fruit of the growth of life is God Himself. So of course we cannot produce this in our own. We depend absolutely and solely in the supply of life within us. And the second type of fruit that we have is in John 15, 16. Can we go there? John 15, 16. The Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 16. This is one of your memory verses, by the way. If you have it, set, go. You did not come choose me, but I choose you, and I said you that you should go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. So this bearing fruit here refers to new believers through the preaching of the gospel. But these two things, these two fruits, the first fruit, the Christian virtues, speaks of our way of living. And the second fruit, the new believers, speaks of preaching the gospel. These two fruits come from the same seed, the seed of the divine life. And these two fruits, they go hand in hand. If we have one, we will have the other. We cannot have just the preaching of the gospel without having a life, a living that testifies of the Lord. Just think of it for a minute. If in school you are a person who, just like many other students, lie to the teacher, speaks of others behind them, cheat on tests, and then eventually, hey, by the way, we have a gospel meeting this weekend. That kind of doesn't work. But if you are a person holy, separated by the divine life to God, they see in you something that they may not explain. You are just different. And when it's about having fun, they may like to go with their preferred friends. But I'll tell you, when they are facing a real problem, they will go to you. They know you may have something they have not been able to find anywhere else. And that is life. Life is the answer to all the problems. So we should be always looking for the opportunities to supply this life. We preach the gospel not out of just being nice or just because they said that we should do. It is because the life that is with us flows out. Amen. Everything that flows in till overflowing then flows out. And this flowing out is manifested in these two kinds of fruits. It produces in us a kind of living. And it produces in us a flow of the divine life in a form of preaching the gospel. Knowing that these people are perishing, that they need salvation, amen, that they are suffering, amen, that they are miserable. They may not be saying that, and they may not understand it that way, but it is so. And even for ourselves, this is a crucial matter, because we read in 2 Peter 1:11 that this is the entrance into the eternal kingdom. So you will say, wait a minute, aren't we already in the kingdom? Yes, we are in the kingdom of God in this age. But in the coming age, the kingdom will be manifested. What is hidden nowadays in us, it will be manifested in the whole world, even through the whole universe. Amen. The Son of God will be manifested to the glory of God. Amen. In that day, there will be such a manifestation. But not all the believers will be part of that kingdom. It depends on whether we have these fruits or not. This eternal kingdom, if you read the notes, actually let me read part of that note on the eternal kingdom. It says it's referring to the kingdom of God in its manifestation, which was given to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and which will be manifested at his coming back. So we will face this when the Lord Jesus comes back. We pray that, Lord, oh Lord, come, Lord Jesus. But we will face this situation. It will be a reward. Hallelujah, a reward to his faithful believers who pursue the growth in his life unto maturity and the development of the virtues of his nature that in the millennium they may participate in his kingdom, in his kingship, in God's glory. So we cannot assume that everybody understands this. So let me just spend a minute on this. When the Lord Jesus comes back, he will judge first the believers on whoever has this kind of fruit, these two fruits, or not. And those who will have this fruit, which is the result of the growth in life to maturity, will join him for 1,000 years of the millennium kingdom. And that millennium kingdom, it has two aspects. One way, we will be reigning with Christ for 1,000 years. In another sense, we will be feasting with him as our beloved husband. Amen. So we will not be the bride anymore. We will become the wife. We even sang a hymn that we enjoy very much, verse based on Revelation 19. Let us rejoice and exult, and let us give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. When the wife gets herself ready, during this age, this is the age of preparation. We don't have time to waste. We have to live this life. And we have to preach the gospel to bear this fruit for the coming of the Lord Jesus, that we will enter richly and bountifully into the coming kingdom. Amen. The church is not eternal. This is temporary. The church is not the goal of God's economy. The church is the means through which the Lord accomplished his purpose. The church is not the end. In the book of Revelation, we see at the beginning lampstands. And those lampstands represent the churches. But at the end of the book of Revelation, we do not see lampstands anymore. The lampstands are made out of gold, pure gold, which represent the nature of God. But at the end, we don't see the lampstands. What we see is a city of gold. No longer the lampstands, but a city of gold. And that represents the mingling of God and men. The human incorporation of God with men for eternity. Amen. And that the Bible calls the New Jerusalem. Amen. That is the goal. So this is just temporary. We are training. We are preparing for this coming. And what it tells us if we are prepared or not is the bearing of these two fruits. So I don't want you to be discouraged and think, oh, then I'm not going to make it. Well, feeling that way is actually a healthy feeling. When the feeling is the opposite, oh, I'm okay, I'm in the church life, I was born in the church, I'm okay. Well, that is a dangerous feeling. That is a lack of light based in the lack of fellowship. Remember the cycle? When we come to fellowship with the Lord, we receive the divine light. And then we see we are now making it, Lord. And we have the urgent feeling to pray for it. That life will grow in me. Amen. Oh, that we will pray this, Lord, grow in me. Amen. That I will make it in this day. Amen. That I will have this fruit to offer to you. Amen. The kind of living that I live on the earth. And how many people I affected by my living that I was able to preach the gospel. And here are the many that I brought to you, Lord. Amen. Oh, in that day, the Lord will say, well done, good and faithful slave. Amen. Then at the end of that verse, he says, enter into the joy of your master. Amen. Oh, that our joy will be made full. Amen. And actually, there's nothing more joyful than to bring somebody to the Lord. If you have had that experience, you can testify of that. But again, I don't want to leave you with the impression, oh, then I'm afraid I'm not going to make it. Well, this is not based on you. It's not based on me. We are not the center of the universe. The center of the universe is Christ. Amen. As the tree of life. Amen. And I will prove this to you with the Bible. The center of the universe is Christ as the tree of life. So, the key is to go to that. To the tree of life and eat of the tree of life. Amen. Let me just show you that the whole God's economy is centered on the tree of life. Christ as the tree of life. And he is the center of the universe. In Zechariah 12:1, we read in that verse, "The burden of the word of Jehovah concerning Israel, thus declares Jehovah, who stretches forth the heavens and lays the foundation of the earth and forms the spirit of man within him." Here we see three matters, the most important matters in the whole creation, the heavens, referring to the created universe, the earth, referring to the place for man's existence, and the human spirit, for man to be for God. So these three things, the heavens, the earth, and the human spirit. So based on this verse, we see that God's plan is centered on the earth. So the earth is the center of the universe in God's plan. And in the center of the earth, God planted the Garden of Eden. We read that in the book of Genesis. And in the Garden of Eden, if you read those verses, in Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, there you read that in the middle of the garden, it was not on one side, it was in the middle of the garden, he planted the tree of life. Amen. So the center of the universe, the earth, the center of the earth, the Garden of Eden, and in the center, in the middle of the Garden of Eden, according to that verse, we have the tree of life. We made the mistake many times of looking ourselves. And this is why we don't preach the gospel. Because we see our lack. Because we see our fallen condition. But we are not the center of the universe. We should look to Him. Amen. Look to the tree of life. Amen. And eat of Him. Amen. We have this hymn, "Look Away," right? Can we sing it? The chorus? "Look away, oh look away. Look to Jesus, not today. Look away from everything unto Jesus. Look away from everything to Him." Hallelujah. Look away. Amen. Remember this when you're condemned by the enemy. I am not the center of the universe. I am not able to produce this fruit. This is the fruit of the growth of the divine life, Amen, which I have received. Amen. Just look away unto Him. Amen. Be infused by Him. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. Amen. We will be filled with faith when we do that. And then we can preach the gospel to others. Amen. Amen. This life that we have received is an indestructible life. It's an invincible life. It's an overcoming life. This life overcomes any temptation, any sin, has overcome the world and Satan, and even death. The life that we have received is a life of resurrection. Amen. Oh, we have all this potential within us to live by this life. May we grow in life. May we develop in this life by exercising our spirit, allowing Him to grow in us to produce these two fruits for a rich and bountiful entrance into the coming kingdom. I want to close with John 15:5, if you can go to that verse. John 15:5. Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 5. So the key is, as we were singing in the hymn, abiding in the vine, all the riches of God's life are mine. Let's read the verse, John 15:5. Set, go. Amen. So the secret of living is abiding. Amen. Abiding in the vine. And then the life will be imparted into us and flow in and out. It says that apart from Him, we can do nothing. But when we are abiding in Him, we actually do something. And that something is bear fruit. Think about it. The vine cannot produce fruit by itself. It needs the branches. But the branches cannot produce the fruit by themselves. They need to abide in the vine. So we need Him. and he needs us. When we preach the gospel, we also do it because we see that he has a need. God has a need to get to his ultimate purpose, to produce the new Jerusalem. He needs many, many believers. Oh, that we will be those who care for God's need, not just our own need, but God's need. And then let me read again verse 16, it's the next page, John 15, 16. Can we read it together? Set, go.
You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I set you that you should go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain.
Amen.
Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you.
Amen. I chose you,
Amen.
And I set you,
Amen.
That you should go forth and bear fruit,
Amen.
And that your fruit should remain.
Amen.
So here you see, God does the choosing, and God has set us. But we have to go. He chose us. Somebody has to go. He speaks to us, but somebody has to speak to people. He gave us the supply, but somebody has to give it to them in order that they will remain. This point, go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain.
Amen.
This speaks of shepherding. So it's not just having people saved or inviting people to the meeting. It's more than that. Because if we love them, if we really love them with the love of God, if we really have this human virtues, which is the expression of God's attributes in us, we will care for them and we will shepherd them, that they will remain. Oh, Lord Jesus,
Amen.
That we will be strengthened in our spirit,
Amen.
To go back to these verses and remember that this will be required of us the day that the Lord comes back.
Amen.
Now, we don't do this in fear. We do this in joy.
Amen.
Oh, because abiding in the vine is something joyful.
Amen.
It's something wonderful.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, there's nothing more wonderful than having living with you,
Amen.
To receive the life supply and allow this life to flow out. Amen.
Amen. For the abiding in the vine.
Amen.
Last year I spoke. I don't think I actually formally introduced myself. So I'm James Chang, and I serve in the church in New York City, just like Brother Osmar over here. So when I was growing up, I'm also a church kid. I grew up attending the children's meetings and coming into the Summer School of Truth, going to young people's conferences, and this matter of preaching the gospel always somewhat puzzled me a bit. We say, let's go preach the gospel, but there was never really any type of handhelds. It didn't seem so practical to me. And how to do it, how to even approach it, I may have been burdened for my friends, but what's the exact process that I do in order for them to receive the Lord? All right, so let's, again, John 15, 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I set you that you should go forth and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. In the earlier parts of John 15, it talks about how the Lord is the true vine, and that if we abide in him and he in us, we can bear fruit. So that's what the gospel is. The gospel is the flowing out of life. So, and the virtue is that as long as we enjoy the sense of life, we've all learned over the last few days about the sense of life, the anointing of the Spirit, confessing our sins. If we just follow these practices, it will spontaneously come out when you talk to your friends. But sometimes it doesn't have to be a prepared message or an argument you're trying to make. Sometimes it's just as simple as sharing what you've enjoyed from the Summer School of Truth or anything that you've been reading. You can preach the gospel on many different things. That being said, there is a coordination between our living and our gospel preaching. And there also needs to be prayers. Brother Osmar brought this out earlier, but I think it needs some mentioning. How can you preach the gospel to your friends if you're one that cuts his class every other time? You know, I don't like that teacher. I'm just going to bounce, and maybe I'll study in that study session. Or maybe you're that person. You go out into the field, you go and play some sports, and then as soon as you lose a couple of points and you're way behind, you start cursing. How do you preach the gospel to your friends if you have an outward living that's not matching? So what that means is that we need more growth in life. Brother Osmar talked about the virtues of the Spirit. If we're living in the Spirit, abiding in the vine, naturally we'll have a better human behavior, but the source is of God, and what will be magnified is the Lord.
Amen.
So the other part is that you need to speak out to your friends that you are a Christian. When I was in elementary school, I grew up with a friend, and we went to middle school and high school together. And then I decided in 12th grade to preach the gospel to him, invite him to a gospel meeting. I handed him the gospel invitation, and you know what he said to me? He said, "James, you're a Christian? I thought you were Buddhist." So it's one hand, we have this other things, but your friends need to know that we are believers and that we have this other life within us. The other thing is, if you're burdened for a friend, we have to pray specifically. How many times have you just prayed for your friend and you just feel like the Lord hasn't answered your prayers, just by show of hands? Okay, all right, so we have that. How many think this is normal, though? That it's normal that the Lord doesn't answer your prayers? Okay, yeah, so we have a number. That's an abnormal situation, actually. So Brother Watchman Nee was going over to a sister, Barbara, and she was asking her, "Why is it that my prayers are ineffective?" And from that fellowship, there were 5 points to effective prayer. I'm just going to mention them very quickly with their references. So the 5 aspects are these. 1, be specific. And the reference for that is James 4:2. "You lust and you do not have, you murder and are jealous and are not able to obtain, you fight and make war. You do not have because you do not ask." Point 2, don't pray amiss or selfishly. James 4:3, "You ask and do not receive because you ask evilly, that you may spend it on your pleasures." 3, confessing your sins. This is the reason why the Lord doesn't answer. In Psalm 66:18, "If I regarded iniquity in my heart, the Lord did not hear." So some of these earlier points, the confessing your sins we've been building on. 4, pray in faith. Mark 11:24, "Believe you have received, and then you start to praise." And point 5, in perseverance. Luke 18:1, "And he told them a parable to the end, that they ought always to pray and not lose heart."
Amen.
So point 1, be specific. We're not just praying for specific names. It's not like, "Lord, I pray for my friend to get saved." How about, "Lord, I pray for Ethan to get saved." But sometimes we need to be even more specific like that. What if you say, Lord, what about this week? What if I invite my friend to the gospel meeting this week?" Okay, you get yourself all ready to go, and then Monday rolls around, he's sick. Ethan is sick. You have to be specific. "Lord, let me pray for my friend on Monday that he'll be free at this time." You have to be very specific about when and where. Praying amiss, I think that's somewhat explanatory. It's not asking selfishly. It's asking for the Lord to continue to grow. And praying in faith. Sometimes we pray not expecting for our prayers to be answered, but Mark 11:24 says that we have to believe that we have in faith that once we have prayed it, it's done. You know, that believe that the prayer has been received, and then you can start praising the Lord.
Amen.
Last point is in perseverance. So there's one person or one that doesn't want any of our friends to be saved. He will fight to the end, and that's Satan. If our prayer isn't answered, don't give up. You need to continue to pray. I think at earlier this year's conference, young people's conference, Brother Ricky shared the testimony of how they were praying to save his father. Does anyone remember how many years he was praying for his father to be saved? It was 35 years, okay? 35 years for that. There's another testimony of Brother Wachuni. He had a list of over 100 names of his classmates, and he just kept praying on them. It's a different number? No, but he just kept, the point is that he had a long list of classmates that he was burdened for, and he just kept praying until all those names were saved. Amen. You know. So, coming to, let's read point four. So, bearing two kinds of fruit for a rich entrance into the coming kingdom. So, we have these two pieces of fruit that's coming over here. I want to draw attention to the word bear fruit. It's not, as Brother Osmar said, it's not just a matter of preaching the gospel. Yes, it's good that we save those, and we need to. We need to so that they will not perish. The other important part is that they continue to grow. Just a small testimony. I'm actually meeting, I'm the third generation meeting with the saints in the church life. In the late 50s, my grandparents were initially saved ones that were brought in to meet with the saints in New York City. For a period of 3 weeks, though, they didn't show up to any meetings. You know, maybe you're like that. You might show up, oh, one meeting, and then you're gone because maybe you have some other activities, and you say, I can just do once a month. Well, one brother happened to take notice that my grandparents were not in the meeting for 3 weeks. This brother, a leading one in the church at the time, he went to their apartment in Brooklyn on Park Slope and knocked on their door. When they opened, he saw that they were overwhelmed with my father, who was 3 years old, and my uncle, who was just about a year old. He looked at them, and then he said, I'll take care of them for you for 5 days during the week. This brother, this is what Brother Osmar was talking about. When you have the love of God within you, that love overflows and overcomes your natural human tendencies or your whatever your inclinations are. This brother, for 12 years, looked after my dad and my uncle. Wow. You know, he spent his time reading the Bible to them in the morning, having them practice the piano, or reading, spend an hour working on homework, and then maybe some walk in the park, have dinner, and then read the word to them and put them to bed. But that's the kind of shepherding heart this brother had. You know, and that came from loving the Lord first.
Amen.
So not all of us can, maybe not all of us have that capacity. You know, this brother, he did so many other things for shepherding. But the main point that I would like to draw is maybe just four words that would be able to help you. This is adapted from Brother Andrew Yu speaking on the God-ordained way. And he gave four particular types of relationships that we have. The first one is friendship. Okay. The second one, word, is our relationship, is discipleship. The third word is partnership. And the last word is apostleship. So friendship. I mean, the gospel doesn't mean that we're completely crazy. Like my friend that I mentioned earlier, Jose. The reason he thought I was Buddhist was because he said, oh, you don't follow the same holidays I do. I'm a Catholic. You don't observe Easter. You don't do the traditional Christmas holidays, other things like that. It's not that we're different. We are trying to be friends with, we have natural friendships with other people. Maybe we bond over video games or music or other things. You become friends with other people. And if you're burdened for them, then you begin to pray. The second part is discipleship. And for that, I will read discipleship. 1 Peter 2, 2 to 5. 2 and 5. As newborn babes long for the guileless milk of the word, in order that by it you may grow unto salvation. 2, 5. You yourselves also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house into a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The second part, after your friend, say your friend prays to receive the Lord, you have to be the one to feed him. Be it reading the word once a week for half an hour, praying with them, just getting them constituted more with life. You're going to become a nursing mother. You need to care for all these ones. The next transition is the partnership. So if we were all just children and we didn't grow, that would be very disappointing. We'd be very limited in our capability. We couldn't go on to do other things. So spiritually, we also still need to grow, and they need to grow too. So for that, Ephesians 4, 12 to 13 for partnership. For the perfecting of the saints unto the work of the ministry, unto the building up of the body of Christ, until we all arrive at the oneness of the faith and of the full knowledge of the Son of God, at a full-grown man at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So you can start praying with your partner for other prayer burdens. You could start praying for other friends. It's somewhat, when Brother Andrew, you had shared this, he had drawn like a Fibonacci sequence. You start with one circle, and that's maybe the Lord, and he propagates into two. You know, and each one of these two circles, they start to pray, and they start to fellowship, and they start to, maybe they take two or three more to pray and preach the gospel to. And it just keeps growing out further and further. That's, the last part is apostleship. And for that, we have 1 Corinthians 14, 3 and 12. But he who prophesies speaks building up, and encouragement and consolation to men. So also, since you are zealous of spirits, seek that you may excel for the building up of the church. This is our end goal. It's to become the bride of Christ. We need to continue to build, and we need to continue to grow in life continue to preach the gospel and bear fruit. The last example I would like to leave you with are these sheets of paper. Actually. So before Brother Peter had spoke, I actually had some burden on this. So all these sheets of paper, they're printed with some gridded lines, actually. Went into Excel and drew some boxes about them. There's actually 47 rows down and 31 rows across. So this is about 1,457 cells or grid squares on here. Sorry, math background. I just enjoy these type of things. So if you think about each square as represented of 1 year, 1 day of your life, okay, this sheet represents 4 years about, or 3.98 years. I would say about, you know, let's just call the average age in the room, which it isn't, 16 years old. All right, so we have about here 4 sheets of paper, okay? This represents your entire life up to this point, if we were all 16 years, 4 sheets. For some of you entering the 9th grade, you're going to have a solid 4 years to be with your friends. You're going to have many opportunities to speak with them. In New York City, it's about, the cap is 34 students per class. So that's 33 other friends you can meet. You have 8 periods in a day, so 33 times 8. Not going to do that math. But 33 times 8 over the course of 4 years. How many days of school do you guys go through in a year? 180. All right, so just 180 over 4 years. That's going to be 720. So I'm just going to give you a little example. Let's go. This pen is running really low. Okay, and that's actually beyond where I need to go. Let's do that again. 720 days of instruction over the course of 4 years plus 7 days. This is representative. This right here represents how much time you have of instruction left in high school, if you're a freshman. If you're a sophomore, maybe you have 3/4 of that. If you're a junior, entering junior year, that's half that amount left. If you are a senior, this is your last 180 days. Not to burden you too much with the gospel, let's dial it back a little bit. But if you love the Lord, the source of all the preaching of the gospel stems from loving the Lord first. Amen. You know, we can, if you don't have that love, you're not going to be able to preach it. But imagine if all of you, though, if you truly have been loving the Lord the last few days, if you could all just try and be burdened for a few friends to pray for. It's not asking much. Maybe you talk to them once a week. And maybe, in New York, the practice is we have a gospel meeting in the third week of September. What if the entire Northeast, you know, could just pray together and be burdened for one Saturday in September where we all have gospel meetings across the entire East Coast or just the Northeast? We could all just pray together that we continue to grow in life and propagate this life to others. Okay. And I think, oh Lord, yeah. Lord Jesus, oh, we just pray for the growth in life. Amen. Oh Lord, we just want to love you first. Amen. Oh, we want to be able to propagate this life to others. Amen. Oh Lord Jesus. Maybe we'll have some time for prayers and maybe go into testimony. Pray two by two first.